we ought to want to do as well. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this morning. I enjoyed Brother Slate preaching. It was good. And it's okay, I got it done now. If you're in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sounds like I have an echo. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This was the sermon intended for this morning. Again, just felt led this morning, let Brother Slate preach. And I think that turned out terrific. And again, I think he's not here tonight, so we'll talk about him. You know, one of the things we do, we did this last year. In February, we had a fellow pastor come in, just came in to visit. Remember that? Guy was from Georgia, I believe. Knew of him. Brother lad of, yeah, from Tennessee. And I asked him that morning to come preach. And it wound up that through a series of circumstances, it just was a great encouragement to him. And so if all we did this morning is encourage a brand new evangelist, that's awesome. Amen. Honestly, if that's all we did. But we got a good message out of it, so we received a blessing. What a very, again, I said it this morning, very profound, but just very simple but profound message. It was awesome and a great illustration. I will never forget it. I know I've heard that, maybe that illustration before, but the way he put it, just, man, it's good stuff. You're glad you went to church today?
Amen.
Man, I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. You say, preacher, you had to be here. I don't know about that. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, and have not charity. Remember we talked about last Sunday morning, charity means love in action. So your King James Bible puts it correctly. A lot of the new translations put love instead of charity there. This is speaking of, in the Greek, it's speaking more than just love. It's speaking about love in action. As we do something for someone, we prove our love. Charity. So, says, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You think Paul was pretty adamant about this? By the way, I think verse 1, I think he starts off that verse kind of tongue-in-cheek. That's another whole sermon. Being a little sarcastic, but he is absolutely, definitely getting us to understand that it is love that matters. And this church was fighting one another. They were jealous of the gifts that they had. They were jealous of other people who had the more prominent gifts. And so Paul is correcting them. He's saying, listen, you can do all these things and have all these gifts, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. If you don't have the proof of love, in other words, if you're not showing that love, you have nothing. And I will tell you tonight that love serves. Love proves itself. And love is more important than the other things. Love. And then we begin to define that love. Define that love. Or the nature of love is the title of this. The nature of love, number two. Nature of love, sermon number two. So verse 4, charity suffereth long. Let's again, before we get into the review a little bit, remind you what love is. Now, I'm not going to go into all of this again because most of you heard it last Sunday morning. But love according to the Bible is keeping the law. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. He says, love is the fulfilling of the law. So all you have to do to find out what love is define the law. Define it. How do we define the law? Jesus defined it for us. He said in Matthew 7:12, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. So he takes all 613 laws, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, the civil law, and he summarizes them down to one. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So if Paul says that love is fulfilling the law, he is simply stating that love is selflessness. Man, where have we heard that? I think we preached that in Philippians. Philippians is, again, the theme is selflessness. It's joy that's produced by being selfless. And so here we just see that love is defined as being selfless. By the way, that defines love in action too. As we are selfless, we prove our love. Right? Well, he don't deserve, I know, he don't deserve anything. I'm talking about your husband. But you're going to be selfless and show love anyway. Well, she don't, we're going to be selfless and show love anyway, right? Because who? Jesus showed love to us. We didn't deserve it. We were undeserving of his love. By the way, he loved us before we loved him. Isn't that awesome? He loved us so much. We can show that love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to come and meet as a church family. What a blessing it is to know that you love us beyond measure. And God, I pray tonight that we would again see the importance of loving those around us. Lord, help us that we define and the nature of love, and help us to be very clear tonight. And I pray, God, we'd be yielded to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, love is the fulfilling of the law. I want to remind you, though, James 2:10 says that if you break one law, you've broken them all. Why is that true? Because there is only one law. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so therefore, we are sinners because we can't love everyone in the world as we love ourselves all the time. We can love some people some of the time, but we can't love all people all the time. And therefore, we are sinners. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As Brother Slate did so well this morning, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All have missed the mark. What's the mark? The law. Loving others as you love ourselves. By the way, the Bible says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written herein. So again, you can keep part of it, but you can't keep all of it. Law. The law. Loving others as you love yourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, let's look at the nature of love again. As Paul defines it, in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4, charity suffereth long. And so we covered these first three last Sunday morning. So suffereth long. That word long-suffering means patient. And that word patient again means the capacity to put up with pain, troubles, difficulties, hardship, without complaint or ill temper. In other words, when the Bible speaks of love being long-suffering, it means that love does not retaliate. Great illustration of this is Jesus Christ when he was being beaten and smitten there at the judgment hall, and yet he did not defend himself. He did not lash out at them. He loved them. And charity suffereth long, does not retaliate. By the way, retaliation does no good. You need to give it over to God. Love suffereth long. Again, as we think about the application to that, we think about, number one, I did not push this last Sunday morning as I wanted to. It was in my notes. I just skipped over it. But I want to remind the teenagers, when it says love suffereth long, it means that love waits. This is a thing that's been taught over the years. It was taught to me when I was a teenager. I want to remind you this morning, or this evening, listen, teenagers, love waits. I don't care what that other teenage boy or that other teenage girl may say to you. If they truly loved you, they would not ask you to do things you shouldn't be doing. If they really loved you, and when they ask you to do things you shouldn't be doing, whether it's something, sending a picture through your device, asking you to do something you shouldn't be doing. By the way, I talk to adults the same way, right? Or asking you to do something, immoral. Love waits. You understand that? Now, look at me closely now. Love waits. Guys, love waits. If you truly love that girl, you'll wait. If they don't wait, they don't love you. That's the biblical concept. You say, well, he loves me. No, he doesn't. Not if he takes from you that which you have and you should retain until you're married. Right? Amen. Sex outside of marriage is immoral. It's wrong. It's a sin. And so, therefore, love waits. College students, adults. Man, we pinned it down last Sunday, didn't we? I remind you. Love waits. Love is patient. Love is patient. And so the application is, again, love waits. It means spouses are to be patient with each other. Hello. We're to be patient with each other. Love and long-suffering means that love gets over the little things or gets past the little things. I don't know how many times people come to my office and drudge up things that happened 7 years ago. I'm like, haven't you got past this yet? And this is for men and women. Get past it. Love gets past, you know, that biblical principle. It's really found in Proverbs. It talks about love hides a multitude of sins. It really is. Listen, love can overcome those things that have transpired in your life, those hurts that you have, those maybe that your spouse has caused or a loved one has caused, that you can get past it. Love suffers long. It's long-suffering. Patient. It does not retaliate. I think Paul does a pretty good job here, doesn't he? Secondly, love is kind. This is an easy one. Kindness simply means pleasant or beneficial. It means beneficial in action. It means friendly. It means sympathetic. It means helpful, thoughtful, gentle. So love, charity, that love in action means that we ought to be gentle with each other. It means we ought to be thoughtful, helpful. We ought to say thank you. We ought to be thoughtful with our spouse. We ought to remember Valentine's Day. We ought to remember our birthdays. We ought to remember anniversary dates. Amen? And with our spouses, we ought to be kind. Friendly. I want to encourage our church, and we have a friendly church, but I want to encourage you once again, on Sunday mornings, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, be friendly. Be friendly with outside guests. Be friendly with, we have visitors here tonight. We thank the Lord for those. Be friendly. It's showing love when we're friendly. Somebody needs a hug. Give them a hug, right? Somebody needs a welcoming smile. Give them a smile. Be friendly. Be friendly. Be kind. Be gentle. Another verse is going to cover that here in a moment, kind of a little bit the same. Thirdly, love envieth not. Envieth not. Verse 4 again. Love envieth not. That word envy means a feeling of antagonism towards someone because of some good which he is enjoying but which you do not have. It is the cousin to jealousy. Envieth not. It's being jealous of someone, of something that they have that you do not have. You know, it's kind of like being a kid again. You know, he has the toy and you don't. You know, he has the Corvette, Zeal, whatever, you don't. He has the monster truck, you don't. He has a brand new Browning shotgun, you don't. I'm trying to think of stuff girls like. I can't think of anything right now. But I hate sometimes that I cut up and make light of some of this stuff, but I think maybe we have to a little bit. But this serious stuff, you know. Envy can destroy you. Envy can put you in debt. You need to go to the Wednesday night class, right? Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey. Envy will put you in debt trying to keep up with the person across the street. Or the person across the pew. Boy, be careful. Be careful. Charity envieth not. Charity will praise those whose gifts and successes that we covet. So it means that love envieth not. We love them, and therefore we are proud for them and what they have. We're glad for them. You say, well, I can't be that way. Well, we can't do any of these things without the Lord. But we can rejoice in someone who drives up in the new car. We can rejoice with someone who has the new house. But let's get the application where it is here in the Bible. We can rejoice with somebody who can sing well. Amen. You know, we don't have to be envious of somebody else's talents, gifts that God. We can rejoice in somebody's ability to teach. I think Kelly Clark has the ability to teach. It's a neat ability. Brother Jonathan Stewart has a tremendous ability to teach. We ought not to be envious of those talents. We thank the Lord for those talents. And whether it's playing an instrument or whatever it may be, it's kind of the showy gifts, the stuff that's kind of out front. We need to be careful about those things. Not envy those things. Not seek the place of preeminence. Christ didn't do that. And so we should be very, very, very careful. Envieth not. Envieth not. And especially the application here in the Scripture in Corinthians is for them. Paul was addressing this this contention in the church in which they were jealous of each other's gifts. And so let's rejoice in the gifts other people have. Amen? And though you may never get to teach an adult Bible class, I don't know if that's the case or not. Maybe you will. But we don't envy those who do. You may not get to do some of the other things that may be kind of the ones that everybody sees. But I said this last Sunday morning, and I mean it. I believe when we get to heaven, some of the greatest rewards, if not the greatest rewards, will go to the unsung heroes in the background. Those who do things without having to be patted on the back, and those who do things without ever being seen, and those who do things. I really believe that. I honestly, in my deepest heart, I believe that. Some of those people who, and even in our church, who've been teaching and working for years and years and years, and just staying by the stuff and just keeping at it, being faithful, God is going to greatly, greatly reward them. So, love envieth not. Now, love vaunteth not itself. There in verse 4. Love vaunteth not itself. So here's new ground for us tonight. That word, the phrase means it does not show off or boast or brag. It is not proud or conceited. Some of these phrases overlap a little bit, so if it seems like it, they do. But here it speaks about love does not seek to win the praise and applause of others. Love does not seek to win the praise or applause of others. It means love is not a braggart. Love does not show off. You remember the guy or girl in high school, you know, that was always the show off, you know, and you could just, I mean, when they arrive on the scene, you know they're a show off. By the way, there's adults the same way. You know, you could tell. In some ways, you can tell. A lot of people, a lot of us would say to them, they're not real. They're just boasters. Hello? And not that we should call other people names. That's not what I'm saying. But we can see, a lot of times we can see through people and say, you know what? That person's not real. They're just a braggart. Love does not do that. Love is not a braggart. Love does not seek applause and the praise of men. And these are areas all of us could work in. All of us are prideful to a certain degree. We must be careful in all of these areas, not to make ourselves or put ourselves out there in order just to get applause and the praise of men. Here, the practical application is that we should give without expecting anything in return. It really comes down to motives. I mentioned this last Sunday morning. I want to clarify something I said last Sunday morning. I said, and I used the illustration of the lady in our church when I was preaching in Nakona, Texas, pastoring there, and we had a lady that sat on the second pew. And when she gave, she always gave after the plate went by. So the plate, and by the way, that church only held 80, so it held like this little section right here. But she'd always wait till after the plate went by, and then she'd hold her money up and have the usher come back down and get it. Well, everybody in that church building knew that she was doing it so she could show you how much money she's given. I'm thankful she gave the money. We needed it bad. The total budget of the church was like $14,000 the first year, and we needed the money, but she was being a braggart about it. She wanted the applause of men, and the church knew that. And so I said the phrase, you know what? God said that if you get your reward here, that's where you get it. You won't get it there. And somebody came to me afterwards, and I want to clarify and say, it's not that somebody can't see you give, or that it's not that somebody may see you give something. I mean, the ushers most of the time are counting the money. They know what you're giving. It's not that someone may see you giving. It's more about your motive that matters. Your motive matters. Why do you do what you do? Because you could have one of the showy gifts, but the motive is what matters. And you may give the $1 million for the activity Family Life Center, right? You may give it. We may put your name on there. It doesn't mean that you won't receive rewards in heaven because your name went on a gym. And by the way, I'm willing for even $100,000 to put somebody's name on the gym. It does not mean you won't receive reward in heaven, but it's why you gave it. That was the point the Lord was making when they were putting the alms there in the basket. It matters. The motive matters. And so when the Bible says love envieth not, or love vaunteth not itself, it's speaking of our heart. It's speaking of that, again, somebody who is a braggart or a boaster. We must be very careful in these areas. Somebody who likes to show off or draw attention to themselves. Love is not anxious to impress others. Praise the Lord. Right? Abraham is a good illustration of this. In Genesis chapter 15, he again found out that he defeated the kings of the east. And Abraham later would purchase and bury Sarah there. He described himself to the people as strangers and sojourners among them. So remember, he had great conquest, great victory over these kings of the east. And when he went to describe himself to the people he helped defeat these guys, he called himself a stranger and a sojourner among them. But look what they called him. Genesis 23 verse 4 says, they referred to him as a mighty prince. As a mighty prince. Abraham was humble in the way he viewed himself. And because so, God exalted him. And they viewed him as a mighty prince. You know what? Do whatever you're going to do, but do so without wanting the credit. In other words, give without expecting anything in return. And let God do the positioning. Let God do the positioning. Love vaunteth not itself. This one, the next one kind of goes along with that, so we won't spend a lot of time on there, but love is not puffed up. In other words, puffed up means to be inflated. All I can do is think about that new cartoon out, the little guy that is a little wide anyway. Was that Hero? Anyway. Love is not puffed up. That word puffed up, the funny things that go through my mind when I'm preaching. You guys would not believe the stuff that goes through my mind. And what I have to pick and choose what I'm going to say. It's unbelievable. Puffed up, to be inflated. Love is humble. It does not have to exaggerate one's ideal of their own self or the importance of oneself. It's not puffed up. Love comes out of the shade to do its kind deeds, then retires back into the shadow again. It's not, again, it goes along with the previous point. It's not a braggart. It's not trying to be out front. By the way, Jesus never showed off. I think he could have if he'd wanted to. Somebody with all power could have done anything he wanted to, couldn't he? Hey, look what I can do. I'm Superman. You know, he could have done that. He literally could. But he left the glory of heaven. He left the splendor of heaven and came. He who was rich became poor for us. He in no way was puffed up. I like this saying. I don't know who said it, but things that are blown up can and will pop. It really will. A person who is puffed up, a person who is vaunting himself or herself, eventually will fall. Their bubble will get popped at some point. You know, we all have a tendency, and I have to watch myself, of being an exaggerator. But sometimes those small lies will catch up with you. We need to be careful. Somebody who's merely exaggerating to build oneself up, eventually that bubble will get popped. Amen? None of y'all experienced that before. Y'all are all... I don't want to say that word, but we'll move on. Love... I'm going to say it here in a minute, so we'll get on with it. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not behave itself unseemly. I'm going to be kind with this word. If you want to do your own study, you can. But this basically means that love is not rude or ill-mannered. But it's always courteous. Love is not rude or ill-mannered. Boy, we got a lot of rude people today, don't we? Unbelievable. In Texas, we got rude people. Now, we go up some other places. Got too many northerners in here. You go some other places and people are just, that's the way they were raised. Now in Texas, I was raised the opposite of that. My parents raised me to be, raised me not to be rude. But we do see this a lot, especially with kids. And it's our responsibility as parents to ingrain in them the appropriate behavior that needs to be exhibited. And this word unseemly does have some connotations with it about morality as well. That's what I'm not really going to get into that tonight. But we need to be careful about what we express with our mouth, what we say, how we say it. It is wrong for you as a Christian to put in within your mouth innuendos. And we're so comfortable with it because we see it on TV all the time. But we need to be very careful with how we say things and how we approach things, especially when it comes to morality. And Brother Stewart kind of addressed that one of the nights he was here, that we've become so easy with some of these words and some of the things that had to do with morals. We must be careful. Do not, love is not rude or it's not ill-mannered, but always courteous. And we ought to have a good etiquette. And we ought to be careful with our kids and train our kids to say, excuse me. Yes, ma'am. I like that. Yes, sir. And I again want to encourage some of our men and ladies here. If my kids say to you, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and you say to them, hey, that makes me feel like my dad or my grandfather, stop doing that. Don't do that to my kids. I want them to be raised that way. I had a boss whom I dearly love who said that to me the first day I worked for him. I don't want to be called yes, sir. And so I stopped doing it, but to him. But it's being courteous and mannerisms and all these things we need to train our kids. Good manners are important. It's important that a young man learn to open a door for the lady, or even adults as they walk through a door. If I'm at Chili's, and I'll open the door. I might open the door for four or five couples that come in, and then I just tell them I'm the doorman. But that's the way I was raised. I was raised that way. But it's biblical. It's a biblical principle. If we are to show our love, that's what we're talking about tonight, right? So we're not just talking about the husband and wife love or the father, daughter, son love. We're talking about showing our love to others. If we are to do that, we don't need to be braggarts. We don't need to put ourselves out front, so forth and so on. We need to behave ourselves. We need to be courteous. We need to be, and we've already talked about being kind. These are things we should exhibit as Christians. Jesus always said the right thing in the right way at the right time. I get out of an elevator, or I'm going into the elevator. I try to hold the door. May not always get the first chance. Sometimes another man or lady will hold it, and you know. But just trying to live every day in a courteous manner. Our testimony is important. In the country I was raised, out in the country where I was raised, as you went down the road, you'd wave at everybody. You know, just kind of two fingers. And they wave back. Motorcyclists still do that a lot. You know, they'll, as they drive by, they'll do something, you know, wave. Or not so much in cars anymore. I still do it a lot. Get waved back about 10% of the time. I still blink my lights when there's a policeman that I just passed, you know? I'll tell the other guys I do that. I don't know if that's illegal or not. I just, you know, being courteous. Why can't we just be kind and courteous to people? Show that testimony. Teenagers, show that testimony. Adults, kids, lots of kids in here tonight, show that testimony. Showing love to those around it. Well, that's a little thing, preacher. Da, da, blah, 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 blah. It's in the book. I read it out of here. It wasn't the pastor's opinion. I just defined it out of Webster's Dictionary. I can look it up in the Greek. It'll say what the Webster's Dictionary says. Isn't that amazing? Anyway. Love is not unseemly. Lastly tonight, love seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish, but self-forgetful. Love is not selfish, but self-forgetful. Love does not grasp for its own rights, but finds joy, listen to this, finds joy in serving others. So when we think about exhibiting or showing love to those around us, it has to do with forgetting of oneself and serving those around us. Serving those around us. You remember when Abraham and Lot were there and they were traveling, and their shepherd groups, their workers began to fight amongst each other, and because their herds have gotten so big. And so Abraham said, we need to separate. And then Abraham said, listen, I'll take the best part. You go take what's left over. That's not what he said. He said to Lot, you choose. You choose what part you want. I'll take the leftovers. And Lot chose the plains of Sodom. You know, physically speaking, he chose the better part. He chose the more productive land, the better property. But think about it now. Abraham wasn't thinking of himself. When he could have, he was the elder and certainly the more powerful one as far as wealth and numbers are concerned. But yet, he was self-forgetting. He loved Lot. Love serves. I think this is a great point. Goes along with our theme. Love, charity in action is self-forgetting. It's serving others. It's putting others in front of our needs and our wishes and so forth. Self-forgetting. It's being selfless. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Say it. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Jesus came to minister. Jesus, God in the flesh. I mean, in rank, that's pretty high. But he was self-forgetting. And he loved us, and he showed that love for us by going to the cross and dying for us, yes, but also proving that love and showing that love, practically speaking, to us on a daily basis by not being haughty, by not envying, but by being kind and gracious, not being courteous and kind, by putting others in front of himself, by showing that, by washing the disciples' feet. I still have a hard time with that one. And I will not wash your feet. I won't do it. I mean, if the Lord came down and told me verbally in a 100-foot Jesus, I might. But that's not going to happen because the Bible says he's not going to do that. But even if he did, I would if he said that. If it was a verbal and I had an absolute confirmation that I need to wash your feet, I might do it. But Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Ooh! I know it was a custom at the time, but usually the slaves did that. Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. He did not seek the preeminence. He was humble, loving, kind, courteous. What a wonderful Savior. He served those around him. All of us from time to time get in a position or get down on ourselves and get a little selfish, don't we? We do this with our spouses. We do this with our children from time to time. We do this in our jobs from time to time. We certainly do it here at the church if we're not careful. From me on, everybody. But we need to be careful. Love serves. True happiness is found in doing for others. You want to experience joy? Paul tells you how to do that. In Philippians, we've been studying on Sunday night. Do for somebody else. Give to somebody else. Be selfless toward your spouse. Do what Jesus would do. Love serves. Love seeketh not her own. I want to remind you tonight as we conclude that love is, this type of love, this biblical love, is impossible to do alone. That you cannot jump these hurdles without help. You can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, when my spouse, and she's not in here, when my spouse does something to me, which she would never do that, but when she does something to me that hurts me, she would never do that, ever. But when she does and has done that in times past, very long time ago, when she does those things, my first thought still to this day, and not physically doing something, but my first thought is retaliation. It still is to this day. I have to watch myself. I have to shrink back. I have to be careful. And listen, if you say otherwise, 1 John says it. He says, if you say you have no sin, what does John say? You're a liar, and the truth isn't in you. And you say, well, what are you doing here, Pastor? Well, sin is breaking the law. And the law is love. So when we don't love as we should, that is sin. And we are all guilty of sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says that. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 gives us hope. It says, if we have sin, that we can come to the Father and confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm so glad that Jesus forgives me of my selfishness. I'm glad that when I'm not courteous, when I'm not kind, when I am prideful and puffed up, and that I can go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and He forgives me every time. Amen. We need to be reminded tonight to show our love towards others. To show it. In sincerity, to prove our love. To show our love to those around us. And so many times, if we're not careful, our wife, our husband are the last ones to see that love. Really. We'll be kind. Oh, we come to church. We're so kind to everybody. Oh, and yeah, somebody said a crossword to us at church, but we just, oh, that's sister so-and-so, she's all right, you know. But man, our wife do that. Man, boo! We blow our top and man, fireworks go off and we turn red. Why do we treat our spouses so differently than we treat other people? Let's show our love to the ones we love the most. Let's show our love to those around us. Let's be the testimony we ought to be. Jesus Christ was the supreme example of love, the supreme example of selflessness. How's that? He gave His life for us. What an example of love. His whole life, an example of love. What a blessing. Let's all stand. Hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Lord, to love as You loved. Help us to see these biblical principles and God to apply them to our lives. Help us to be selfless to those around us and help us to be a good testimony. Help us to serve others. Lord, we thank You for the Word and we thank You that it gives us a path and a guide for our life. What a blessing, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Hymn 150.